fun times to be alive.
Isn't this a peaceful fandom? Isn't this a peaceful fandom where nothing bad ever happens and we never have to have any discourse about anything?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, I love just a normal day being a 9-1-1 fan with no big things in the headlines, certainly no news articles or,
Let me just take a really long drink of water and then check the 9-1-1 Twitter while I still have a mouthful of water. Ryan Guzman did what?
Hey, Lois, I done it again.
I don't get that reference, but I assume it's Family Guy related. If anybody doesn't know, if anybody's not as online as we are, first of all, must be nice. I envy you. Mm-hmm. Second, this thing happened where... some of the people that kind of regularly stalk Ryan Guzman's Instagram, of which I guess there are many, figured out that he had liked a really transphobic, kind of like trad life video.
Yeah.
Like, among other things, there's a part of this video where it's like, we homeschool our kids so that they don't learn that there are 147 genders and that men can give birth, which, I'm sorry, aren't right-wingers crazy? Like, don't they just make themselves
absolutely
sound
insane.
Incredibly insane and stupid? Because it's like, it was kind of making me laugh when I saw the full video, because I mean, they're already spouting a bunch of crazy stuff, but then, you know, it's kind of supposed to be like, we homeschool our kids because, you know, we care about tending the land and teaching our kids traditional values and also teaching them that there aren't 147 genders and that men can give birth. It's like, why is this taking up so much space in your brain is my first question.
Yeah, no, dead ass. Like, and you look at like the content of the video and it is like, unfortunately, like very like in line, like down the road of like where he was a couple of months ago going on those podcasts and doing his like misogynistic like trad sort of like talking about like the purity and the beauty of womanhood and all that stuff. It's very like, if like that was like icky and scummy, and this is like like taking it to like the next level, you know what I mean? So I fear we are watching like the absolute right-wing downward spiral of this.
It is interesting because it kind of feels like we've watched like real-time like men radicalization, you know, like it kind of feels like you're watching somebody become red-pilled in real time in public, which is something that I haven't really gotten to witness firsthand, like with a person I was aware of before, I guess. So basically, we've decided to talk about this a little bit because it feels, at least to people who are like in online 9-1-1 spaces, it feels like this big elephant in the room. And I also kind of wanted to just like clarify our position and our thoughts because let's, you know, other elephant in the room. This makes us sound extremely stupid for like the rant we went on in our last Patreon episode where we were like, wow, isn't it silly that people still think that Ryan Guzman is the reason Buddy isn't happening and then that he's homophobic or something? There's no evidence for that. And so I wanted to clarify a few things about that specifically. So I think the biggest thing is just that, like, you talked about this sort of spiral and like him going on this path. I think the truth is that you and I, or at least I can speak for myself, were like not really fully aware of all of the stuff he's been posting or whatever over the last several months.
Yeah, this might be a failure of ours because we're not on Instagram very much.
Yeah,
we're not on TikTok
we're barely
very
on
much.
Instagram.
We're predominantly Twitter users. And
even
so,
then, we have been a lot less on 9-1-1 Twitter, like, since season 8 stopped airing. I've really barely been on it at all, and except to, like, post episodes. And then I, like, happened to go on it, like, the night this was all going down. And I was like, oh. Because I think I'd been on a little more when I saw that, like, there was an announcement that, like, season 9 had started filming. I was like, I should check this out. And then I saw that, like, Eddie Diaz is trending, and I click on the trend and it's all people being like, Eddie Diaz, I'm so sorry, you're trapped in that man's body. And I was like, uh-oh, what happened?
Yeah, so I want to say at the outset, you know, there is some valid points being made about, you know, people have been talking about how weird he is for a long time, etc., etc., and I just want to say that that is absolutely true, and we don't want to minimize the efforts of those people.
Yeah, there definitely are people who have been like who never trusted him for certain reasons. And yeah, that's very true.
At the same time, I do want to like say that like sometimes there does need to be like an alarm bell ringing moment that happens on like a broad scale to mm-hmm. alert, you know, a wider audience to the fact that this kind of thing has been like writing on the walls for a while.
It's one thing to be like, people should have taken it more seriously, the fact that he had this like racism scandal. I do agree mm-hmm. with that. And it's another to be like, how dare you not have been as terminally online as I was? Like, a lot of what I was seeing was like, we've been saying that, you know, the posts he's been liking on Instagram for the last few months were problematic. And it's like, I'm sorry, but I just didn't see them because yeah. I don't tend to check what posts Ryan Guzman likes on Instagram. And I'm not trying to say that like anyone who did that is like stupid or bad or whatever. Like, I think it's like a neutral thing to do, but it's just, I also think you can't expect everybody to be at that level.
Yeah, no, I agree. Those posts didn't get like media outlets like actually reporting on this situation. I mean that's the purpose exactly. of reporting, is to sort of raise attention to these kinds of things, right? Like, there was no actual like journalism happening about this until now, except for in 2020.
Yeah, it's not the kind of thing you can typically look up articles about, right? And my knowledge of that incident mostly comes from the media coverage on it. Like, to be honest, I realized the other day when I saw the video recirculating that I'm not sure I had ever even sat down and watched that whole video through of mm-hmm. for anyone who doesn't know, in 2020, when Ryan Guzman's partner at the time got in trouble for, I don't even know exactly the context, but she had said like racial slurs in the past, or maybe they were on her social media, and she was really getting very criticized online. I was gonna say attacked, and I was like, no, like, attacked makes it sound like it was unwarranted. She was being criticized.
I do love this. First Just Podcast, we do our due diligence.
She was being criticized online for her use of racial slurs. And Ryan Guzman, I guess feeling the need to defend his partner, went on Instagram Live and just started, like,
showing his ass. People,
yeah, totally putting his foot in his mouth and being like, you know, this isn't that big of a deal. You guys are overreacting. Me and my friends say slurs to each other all the time, which was like, okay, that's a bit of a weird self-report. I used to think, like, I to totally play Guzman's advocate, like, I can kind of see what he thought he was trying to say, you know? He was probably trying to say, I have a diverse group of friends and we all can make kind of un-PC jokes to each other and it's fine, which I think is kind of true of a lot of people, right? We maybe can feel more comfortable saying more out-of-pocket stuff to our friends because we know that they know what our true beliefs are. However, one, that's not at all relevant to the situation. Like, just because your friends are okay with you saying slurs doesn't mean that anyone should be okay with anyone saying slurs in any yeah. context. Yeah. But also, it's like, that doesn't necessarily, like, it's still kind of weird that you say slurs at all. Like, when I said, like, oh, we all maybe say less PC things around our friends, like, I don't say, like, racial slurs around my yeah. friends, no matter how comfortable I am with them. So, yeah, it was kind of a crazy self-report. And he really just very, very inelegant, very not good response to the situation.
Yeah. And there's lines, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's lines, you know, in these kinds of things. Like, when we, like you said, you know, when we say things like that, that are like maybe un-PC to our friends, there's still a line that we don't cross, right? Like, I, mm-hmm. for an on the ground example, I grandfather my friends into fag all the time. Like, I think it's so fun. I like, me and my gay friends, we will go to our straight friends and like, we'll be drinking. It'll be like 2 a.m. and we'll be like, say fag, say fag, say fag, say fag. It was so much fun. It's like a funny little communal bonding experience, because we were doing this right. to my roommate one night, and he was so like, Ryan, don't, no, I so don't want to. And then it was me and my buddy and my other buddy, and we're all gay, and we were like, Max, just say it. And he turns to me and he goes, Ryan, you are not a faggot. And we were like, yeah. But that's something that we have ownership of, and that's something that we have control over, and so we have the right to grandfather them into that.
You very much sort of gave him the pass, so to speak, which I assume may have been what Ryan Guzman was getting at. Mm-hmm. But it's really not the kind of thing that I think you should like publicly be like, I do this all the time and it's okay.
Right. Like if he went around again, tweeting like these fags are getting unbearable, then I would be like, I have a problem with that. That's not the same thing.
And also, again, it's kind of irrelevant to like his wife or girlfriend's use of racial slurs, right? Like it's a totally different thing. But ultimately, he got a lot of heat for that. Like at the time he got a lot of heat for it. This was also 2020, right? When like racial tension in the US was like kind of at the worst it has been so far in this century, arguably.
Yeah.
So it was just a really, really out of touch time, especially for him to be saying stuff like that. He got a lot of heat, and actually his castmates seemed to distance themselves from him at the time.
Yeah, this is the Reiliver divorce era. Aisha Hines was like denouncing him.
Yes, Aisha Hines was kind of denouncing him. Oliver Stark, I think, posted like some kind of like vague, like it was like just not actively, not directly addressing him, but it was clearly like
vague posting
and whatever.
Subtweeting.
Vague posting, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And there was some like other social media minutia that I have more trouble keeping track of, but stuff like people unfollowing each other and whatever. And I guess I want to clarify again our position on this. I guess the reason that I would say that like that itself was not the ultimate like deal breaker that I never stopped talking about was just that later, it seemed like he had kind of mended those relationships with those coworkers, mm-hmm. including someone like Aisha Hines, who I think like her opinion is perhaps the most important of the people who spoke out, given that she is a Black woman. And I was mm-hmm. like, you know, we don't ultimately know these people personally. So kind of all we can do is maybe read into the fact that like they don't seem to be actively beefing anymore. And, you know, maybe that means that some kind of restitution has gone on behind the scenes. But ultimately, I was like, I don't really know, and I probably never will. Like, it's just kind of a complicated thing, and some of it is interpersonal, so I wasn't really mm-hmm. sure what to make of it. But I had hoped, I guess, that maybe he had moved past those views, right? And then, more recently, there was like a time a few months ago where he went on some podcast and started spouting like what sounded to me at the time and still does now like mm-hmm. kind of manosphere dog whistles, like kind of trad kind of dog whistles, saying stuff like there's all this pressure from society to make women like want to be feel like they have to be masculine or something, which I do remember, like my heart kind of sank about that at the time. I did really have a bad feeling about it.
I remember you texted me that and like you had major misgivings about that. And we were talking about that, like, oh, that's not good.
And I think I sort of gaslit myself into thinking, partly, I'm not trying to take blame off myself, but I do think like the fandom at large kind of brushed that one off. Not everybody in the fandom for sure, but a lot of people seemed to brush it off. And so I kind of told myself like, okay, at best, maybe he's just really stupid, right? And I think that's been like the main reason that I've given him as much benefit of the doubt as I have to this point, is just that I always kind of thought, because, and to be fair, I think it's a normal human impulse to want to believe that the people involved with the stuff you love are good people, you know? I don't think that is inherently that parasocial. I think it's kind of just natural for anyone to feel that way. So I think, you know, that definitely clouded my judgment a little bit. And I was like, well, maybe he's just dumb and ignorant and naive. Again, at best, I wouldn't say we ever like stand Ryan Guzman. At least we have that.
No, I don't think we ever stand him. In fact, I think we've been fairly critical of him when the opportunities to be so have presented themselves.
Yeah, multiple times.
At the same time, I feel like we've sort of treated him in a way that is, you know, I think genuinely fair, as some sort of like E-list Hollywood cryptid, mm-hmm. you know, which I do still to this day believe that he is. He is that thing.
He is like weird. He is weird and he is kind of funny. And I think that also, like, the more I learned about him, the more I was kind of charmed by like his shtick, I guess. Like mm-hmm. he had, you know, especially when I was doing research on all the Step Up movies, like every little bit of press you find of him, he's like so weird and kind of silly. And I was like, oh, maybe this guy's like kind of fun, whatever. And again, that also clouded my judgment. It's also like we weren't in the fandom in 2020 when that whole thing was going down. So I think maybe we have some distance from that like, it's easier for us to kind of forget than if we had like been there in the moment. But yeah, I do, to be clear, I don't totally like defend or excuse like all of our, or at least all of my like you know, I feel like I probably should have taken that more seriously or should have remembered it more. And I think probably because of that parasocial, like, wanting to believe they're a good person, I think I probably did overlook it to some extent.
Yeah, I want to. So I want to talk about the idea of leeway, right? Like, how much leeway do we give a person that we don't know navigating a situation that we don't know the inner workings of? And, you know, I think the ultimate answer is that, like, you know, you give as much leeway as you feel is appropriate in the moment. And then if you are proven wrong later on down the road, you own up to that and you move on.
And you, like, rescind that benefit of the doubt.
Yes, exactly. We were working with the information that we had. And so I'm not personally remorseful with, you know, extending him some leeway in the past about the 2020 thing in particular, because the information that we have with hindsight was that, you know, he had seemingly worked to mend his relationships on some level, and he hasn't made a pattern of repeating those specific talking points since then. showing our ass now, but it's just a good example of how we don't know the inner workings of things. And so making those kinds of definitive judgments, you know, one way or the other can come back to bite you, right? And that's just a fact of engaging with these
kinds
of
things. And like we said, it's also like apparently there had been some stuff in between and we just like were not aware of all of it. In terms of the stuff we weren't aware of, so I actually wanted to mention, we got a comment on our last Patreon episode where somebody had said, like, you know, I do think some people are valid for thinking he might be conservative because of, like, you know, whatever, some stuff he's posted on Instagram recently. And I tried looking for this comment again and I couldn't find it. So I think they might have deleted it or something. And I was looking for it because I wanted to say to this commenter, like, you are totally correct and vindicated. Yeah. Like, in the wake of this new thing, like, oh my God, most vindicated commenter award goes to that person. I'm sorry, I can't remember who it was. But if you're still a patron, I hope I didn't come off at all, like, given that you apparently deleted the comment, I hope I didn't come off at all, like, passive aggressive for not replying. The only reason I didn't was just, like, I wasn't sure what to say. Like, I didn't disagree, but also, like, I didn't really know exactly which things you were talking about.
Yeah.
So from what I understand now, yeah, there had been other things kind of in the same tune of, like, the podcast weird manosphere kind of comments. And also, I saw people bringing up stuff from, like, 2022, supposedly, of him posting, like, straight up anti-vax stuff on his Instagram. To be clear, I take all fandom screenshots with, like, a grain of salt because I do know people have photoshopped, like, Oliver Stark tweets, I know, that don't actually exist. And so there's part of me that's like, well, I've never heard about this before. And given that it seems really serious and I've never heard about it, I, like, don't know 1000% if it's real. But if it is, I had no idea about that. And, like, that was really bad. And I wouldn't really be surprised if he showed support for anti-vax stuff, because that was one of the things in this video that he liked recently, the transphobic one. It was also, like, anti-medicine. So I don't know. I do think it's kind of fascinating from, like, a psychological perspective. Again, it's interesting to see someone fall down a rabbit hole like this in real time. I mean, assuming that it is a rabbit hole, for all we know, he could have always been annoying and conservative, but it does seem like there's been an escalation of at least the rhetoric he's willing to, like, say or support publicly.
Certainly, you know? An emboldening. Yeah, you see this with people like, you know, like, there are people that are susceptible to these things that all it takes is one kind of nudge in some direction to send them on that path. We see this, you know, happen, like, time and again, the song and dance. People like Graham Linehan and J.K. Rowling, who start off as, like, sort of, like, passive, like, media liberals who, you know, don't have strong opinions one way or the other, who, because of blowback or some sort of news report that they see in the media, they simply become radicalized into this way of thinking that sends them down this spiral, and here they are at the bottom of the whirlpool, you know, leading miserable lives, tweeting about transphobia until the end of days.
Because it's all they have,
right? And so I just want to, you know, say for the record that he's not there yet, and I don't want to do an equation there yet. What we're seeing is, like, something that's maybe more similar to the early stages of that, like when J.K. Rowling was first coming out in support of Maya Forstatter, or when Graham Linehan was first getting blowback for that episode of The IT Crowd. The thing that sends them off on the path. And so I hope, And I do genuinely really hope that this isn't the start of that, you know, spiral for him, just because I think it would be personally disappointing. And also, B, I think it would really taint the show in a very major way.
And it would do a lot more real world harm. Like, to be clear, yeah. I guess we're lucky in a sense that he's not like J.K. Rowling level powerful or something, and that he hasn't, at least so far, seemingly been much of like an activist for these beliefs. But yeah, if that's the thing, is a lot of people seem to have this mindset of like, you know, he has bad beliefs seemingly, so like he's done, I fuck him, which I do agree with. And also, yeah, I agree. I also hope that he comes around someday, because I don't want bigoted people to stay bigoted. I would like if he stopped being a bad influence on the world.
Yeah, because if this sort of energy continues and it continues like this down this path, and I'm not saying the energy from the fans, what I'm saying is this energy from him continues down this path, he could be not necessarily the next J.K. Rowling, but he could be the next Fresh and Fit. He could be the next Riley Gaines.
Oh, sure.
He could be the next, you know, that girl from Soul Surfer who like got her arm eaten by a shark only to come out 15 years later and say trans women shouldn't be in women's sports, actually.
Like, Wait, the shark girl said that?
The shark girl said that, yeah.
The real one, right? Not the actress, Anna Sophia Robb?
No, not Anna Sophia.
Okay.
We love her.
I don't know that much about her.
Maybe we also shouldn't be saying this about the actor either. I don't know. Like, maybe we should just take our hands off the parasocial wheel for a second.
I was just like, oh no, not Anna Sophia Robb. I loved her in Bridge to Terabithia.
Oh my God, me too. I just rewatched that recently and it totally holds up. Ugh. I also want to say, you know, like, first of all, like, I just, like, blanketly, we fully condemn Ryan Guzman for his words and actions. Do not support him in these endeavors.
Yeah,
right?
When I earlier was like, I want to clarify our position, I wanted to just be like, anti?
Anti. We you could consider us Ryan Guzman antis now, and that wouldn't be an unfitting label. This is serious, and we're taking it very seriously. I posted a thread about this at 3 a.m. after this all happened.
You did.
And the ultimate takeaway from this is that, you know, I think we should focus our energy on calling out of the bad behavior, but also supporting our community.
Yeah.
And uplifting vulnerable members of our community. You know, and if the only way to do that that you have access to you is, you know, cash donations to charities that support communities directly, then that is a great way to do it. There's also showing up for people in your lives, combating this rhetoric with family, etc. There are a lot of ways to do this. But I also,
and if you want to leave mean comments on Ryan Guzman's Instagram, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, we're not directly encouraging you to do so. But if you do that, you know.
Well, we're not saying you should like send any death threats or anything, but I do think people just expressing their disappointment and stuff is like fair. You know?
I agree.
Although I did see somebody saying like we should stop giving him engagement, which is maybe true, but I don't know how much that affects him, you know, either way. I do think it's interesting when you bring up people like J.K. Rowling and Graham Linehan. It's like both of them have that thing where it kind of seems like what radicalized them was not really political views, but more like them being personally attacked in a way that made them feel really defensive and like they had to somehow align themselves with something opposed to that. And I have to say, I wouldn't be surprised if the thing that kind of first started, maybe not necessarily first started any conservative leanings in him, but kind of first started this spiral of sorts, was that incident with his wife, where, like, again, if I were to be the most charitable, the most Guzman's advocate, again, I can also see why people in the midst of getting canceled feel the need to make these like out of touch bad defenses of each other. They're still bad, and like the video you made was obviously terrible and out of touch and stupid, but I kind of understand that like when you or a loved one are receiving a lot of hate online, even if it is justified, that does feel really bad and awful, and like you are under attack and like people are being mean to you. And, you know, even if 99% of the criticism is totally valid and like normal and just genuine criticism, like she probably was getting some messages that were just straight up nasty or like death threats or whatever. And so he, dumb guy that he probably is, probably saw that and thought like, wow, this is so unfair that a person I love is being subjected to this treatment. And without really thinking well, is any of this like just regular criticism that perhaps is warranted and perhaps, you know, she and I should take accountability? Instead, he just said, like, I've got to go defend my loved one, so I'm going to go rant on Instagram Live. Possibly coked up. We can't be sure.
Possibly. My face went, and you know?
It seems like, you know, all that backlash, it does put you in a very emotional place. And I think, you know, in that emotional place, he makes this terrible, terrible response, exposing some of his own failings, apparently. And then, you know, I'm sure getting all the backlash from that then also made him emotional. And again, I think part of the reason I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt is it seemed to me that he had seen that backlash to like his video. And maybe given the way he made up with his friends eventually, like I thought, okay, maybe that time he really did kind of like it got to him and he thought about it some more. Which again, even that assumption is parasocial, right? Like, I don't know what was going on in his head.
Yeah, that's the operative word in the sentence, right? Is maybe, right? Like, we don't know.
Yeah, we have no idea. And anyway, I could see, though, since it seems we were kind of wrong to assume that perhaps he had done that introspection, I wouldn't be surprised if having gotten all that backlash for that situation and the original backlash that his wife got, I wouldn't be surprised if that was kind of his tipping point where he started to think like, wow, these like woke people really are like overreactive and like mean and they'll attack you for everything. I wouldn't be surprised if that was a big part of it. And also, part of me has to wonder, is being a part of a really popular gay ship part of what radicalized him?
Well, I that could be the case. You know, I mean, it does seem that when you are like a straight actor, especially one who, by Ryan Guzman's own admission, deals with so much emotional repression. He goes on and on about this emotional repression, whatever. I could imagine a world where that would be a point of like stress of like, I don't know. I honestly, like, part of me doesn't even want to engage with that line of thinking because it's so frustrating to me.
No, totally. We don't have to speculate about any of that. But I think regardless of like what may be going on with him personally, I think for a lot of like men, gay or straight or whatever, men who have been raised in the patriarchy and socialized as men, they often are very defensive about people thinking that they're gay, right? And so it seems like Ryan Guzman in particular has this kind of hang up with like seeming macho.
Yeah. And gender roles and et cetera.
This is where my psychoanalysis comes in. You know, it seems that he's this guy from a rather traditional background. He's from Texas. He's a Catholic. Was apparently religious enough in his youth to even consider becoming a priest, right? It seems like, and you know, then he starts being an MMA fighter, like very kind of macho profession. Then he gets into the entertainment industry. And actually, you know, that's maybe kind of an upswing where like, you know, in the entertainment industry, you're probably interacting with a lot of queer people. You're not all of the entertainment industry is diverse, but I mean, doing all those Step Up movies and stuff, like that was a pretty diverse environment. And I assume he got to meet a lot of different kinds of people. And then you see him like get on 911. I wonder if there was even partly like an impulse to kind of distance himself from this like, you know, kind of like fancy boy dancer. I sound like a homophobic stepdad or something, but you know what I mean. The Step Up movies themselves are kind of flamboyant and I think have a big female audience. I wonder if there was even that maybe, or like even his modeling background, like whatever. He was kind of like a Hollywood pretty boy. Maybe there was an impulse to distance himself from that. And then you see him like get married, have kids. And then this is the most important part, you guys. His relationship didn't work out. And I'm sorry, any progressive in this day and age knows that conservative hell hath no fury like a divorced dad. Because, yeah. Oh my God, we have seen it time and time again. Nothing radicalizes the men of today like being a divorced dad. And I think that that is a huge part of this situation. I was telling my friend about this, who doesn't watch 911, doesn't know about any of this stuff. And when I got to the point of like, oh yeah, and he's a divorced dad, my friend was like, yep, that explains everything, you know?
It does. I hadn't even considered that angle. Wow.
So it seems like he's been engaging with all this kind of manosphere stuff of like, you know, women are evil and they'll leave you and they'll take your kids. And also, I wonder if part of the conservative divorced dad thing comes perhaps, I don't know what like his custody arrangement is, and I don't really feel that it's appropriate for me to even speculate on it. But it seems like part of the conservative divorced dad thing perhaps comes from these dads who are now like no longer able to spend as much time with their children, maybe kind of taking more of an interest in sort of an overcompensatory way in these like social structures that they believe to be bad for children, right? Like they'll get drawn into this thing of like trans people are trying to groom your kids. And it's like, obviously the content of that is very bad and based in total lies, but probably the emotional impulse is like, I love my kids. I don't get to see my kids as much. So I'm going to get really into like, quote unquote, defending the children, even though like, you know, they've chosen a very faulty way to pursue that.
Well, it's the rhetoric we've seen, you know, time and time again, right? This is the foundation of QAnon, right? And this is the whole like Q movement of like, oh, the liberals are, you know, eating babies. They're actual vampires. They're harvesting their faces to suck out the adrenalized blood in these, you know, Canaanite rituals.
Which, to be fair, we don't yet have proof that Ryan Guzman literally believes that. But hey, it could only be a matter of time.
It's the lineage of thinking, right? Like it goes back to like Anita Bryant in the Save Our Children movement against, you know, those evil gays in Miami.
There's always a big fixation on children. And it does always feel perhaps a little bit, again, overcompensatory given that conservative movements and conservative households tend to be like the most abusive and dangerous for children in a lot of cases.
And to quote a canceled YouTuber, can I just like lean into the mic and say, Karen, hang your shitty child, right? Like, we don't care about your kids as queer people. We don't give a fuck about your kids. God's sake, how many times we have to say this? It's so frustrating.
We don't care about your damn baby.
About your damn baby, right? And like, it's frustrating to me as someone who goes to this show, you know, if not just as a fallback for like, oh, it's, you know, it's a Ryan Murphy production. So at the very least, it'll be some sort of like Hollywood liberal, you know, coziness that harkens back to like, I don't know, the Obama era where,
2011.
You know, we at least got to live in our delusions, right? And, you know, sometimes you need that in a crazy world like today. Like, I've seen so many people, and I've warmed up to this idea, actually, recently, in like of this being like your comfort show. Like, I totally, I understand the impetus there to like have media like that to fall back on. It's just that, you know, I mean, it feels like an interloper, doesn't it? Like when, you know, this person is, you know, in our show, very kind of integral to, especially the way that you and I engage with it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know where to go from here. Like, I saw this tragic tweet that was like, very recently, that was like, are there any Buddy season 9 truthers still out there? And the entire like comment section was just like a sort of a uniform no.
So that's kind of okay. There are two big questions there. The first is, do we / can we keep Buddy Maxing? And I actually have an opinion on this, you guys. I think the answer is yes. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a shipper and have an emotional attachment to it, but I'm also saying it because, let's be real, is it not the most perfect, cosmically funny thing that this kind of conservative man has found himself trapped, dare I say, stuck in one of the most popular homosexual ships on television right now? Isn't it kind of just unbelievably, like, karmically funny that's his fate right now? And due to that, you know, he's given these views that he's espousing, he must like just hate that he's tied to this thing, right? It must drive him insane that, you know, he's trying so hard to cultivate this like macho man image of himself. He's like posting all his straight man photography of scantily clad women on his Instagram, when in reality, what he is the most known for is being everybody's pooky baby girl princess who's getting absolutely fucking destroyed, railed to eternity on archiveofourown.com.
Literally.
And I think that for that reason, we have no choice but to continue to Buddy Max, because it's what he wouldn't want. You know, it's the one thing that will probably, you know, drive him mad for the rest of his days, is that we are Buddy Maxing. You know, keep Buddy Maxing, I say. Keep feminizing Eddie Diaz. Keep making him your little baby girl and putting those tiara edits on him in pictures.
Make
him
trans. Make him non-binary.
Make him trans,
give him blue hair. Demisexual, give him 147 genders. Do it all.
Give him
seriously.
Even more,
out of
I say.
Spite. Out of
give
pure
him blue hair,
spite.
Yeah. You know, out of spite. And so I feel like Buddy Maxing
the anal
more than
demolition of Eddie Diaz. Let's just say that.
I feel like Buddy Maxing more than ever before. For the first time, out of pure, like, ideological purity, you know, I feel a social need to do this. You know, it's very important for society and for the movement that we continue to Buddy Max. And that's what I have to say about that. But the other question is, what does this mean for the conversation about, is it Ryan Guzman's fault and influence that Buddy hasn't happened yet? Because that's the embarrassing thing that, you know, we went on our little rant in our last Patreon episode about, like, oh, it's totally not true. And now, of course, the obvious answer is, oh, he probably was preventing Buddy from happening. I'm still kind of torn, not because I'm living in delusion, like not because I think he's probably super pro Buddy in light of these views. He's probably not. But I guess I'm torn between like which answer is the simplest and therefore the most likely. Like, is it A, that Ryan Guzman like hates Buddy so much that he's been like somehow allowed to actively prevent it from happening? And there was, as some people are speculating on Twitter, there was like this whole plan this season to have it happen that Ryan Guzman somehow single-handedly derailed. Is that the most likely answer? Or is it just that Ryan Guzman doesn't have that much influence over it, but Tim Minear is kind of bad at show running now? Because I feel like they're very equally likely.
Now, can I be frank?
Yes.
Can I be frank?
I thought you were being Ryan.
May I be Ryan?
Hey.
But can I be the uncancelled Ryan for a moment? At the end of the day, like I still don't think that he has enough power and influence to put all the stops on that. I mean, obviously, like, he has some input on the character, but you know, he is still an employee. And I think that our previous arguments about Buddy not going canon do still, like, on some level hold, you know, a lot
of
merit.
I think some of them are still valid.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing
I
of, like,
think that
it's not true because Ryan Guzman is woker than we think is certainly no longer,
well,
no
I don't
longer
know.
True, but yeah.
We've also seen this, you know, before of, like, people who are bigoted against Black people, against, you know, trans people, against, you know, a lot of different kinds of people, and still, like, for when it comes to homophobia, for some weird reason, their heart isn't in it. Like, so
right.
have you ever seen videos of Trump talking about gay people?
Oh yeah, he loves them. He's a queen himself.
No, dead ass. Like, you saw that way that he talked about Pete Buttigieg and Chastain. Like, they like he.
That's a beautiful relationship, to be fair, or whatever.
Like, it's so weird. Or even just, like, how, like, obsessed he is with Broadway. Like, you know, I fully believe that Trump is, like, a super racist, white supremacist, misogynistic, transphobic, all sorts of things. But when it comes to homophobia, I mean, you can just tell his heart's not in it. You know what I mean?
I mean, I will say, so Ryan Guzman, it's true that he seems to tolerate gay people. Like, he does, he's, like, brought up in interviews, like, I have homosexual friends, which is, admittedly, we should have also, I think I was looking through the fandom colored glasses on that flag. One, too. That's not really, yeah, that is a red flag, referring to gay people as homosexuals, if you're not gay.
I'm friends with femoids.
So we'll take the L on that one, too. But, I do think that just because he may not be, like, actively intolerant of gay people, I don't think that necessarily equates to being willing to, like, kiss a man on television. I also think, and I feel like I expressed this a little even in our little thing where we were defending him, like, in our last Patreon episode, but I do always think that the arguments of, like, he's played a gay character before are pretty ridiculous, given that the one time it's happened, he didn't have to do anything gay on screen. And also, sometimes people even bring up that, like, little behind the scenes video, like, skit he did with the other guys on 911, where it's like he joked about getting casting couched by Peter Krause. And when people bring that up, I'm like, you can't be serious, because I'm sorry, I have privately always thought that that was, like, is that not just, like, low-key a homophobic joke? Like, well, I'm not saying I was particularly offended by it or, like, wanted to cancel him for it. It's just, like, when you get to the bottom of it, I would say the joke there is, like, not, it's not, like, a pro-gay, and it certainly, no, in my opinion, doesn't betray any, like, level of comfort or discomfort with playing a gay character. I think that was totally unrelated.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So I've known a lot of these guys in real life, right? These straight guys who,
like,
you
they're
know,
willing to jokingly, like, being, kiss their friend. But they wouldn't, like, they couldn't be earnest about it.
Well, it's like being gay is a punchline, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to be gay because it's funny or it's fun to do with the boys, right? But, like, and even then, that inherently is homophobic, because
I think people have even brought up that, like, in the Richard Linklater movie Everybody Wants Some, apparently he and Tyler Hoechlin, like, wanted their characters to kiss, like, as a joke, right? People will bring that up, like, see, he must want to play a gay character. It's like, no, he was doing that straight guy thing of, like, let's kiss for the bit, you know? Which, like, we could have the conversation about what that means for certain straight men's sexualities, but, like, ultimately, it still does not mean that they would want to deliberately, earnestly play a gay guy.
Yeah, I think, like, at the, you know, at the, like, the most charitable end we could go to this is that he's, like, a Harry Styles or a James Franco type, back before James Franco was outed as, like, a notorious sex fiend.
Well, yes.
But, like, you know, even then, I mean, like, you can't even put him on the same level, because, like, Harry Styles, you know, for all his icks that he gives me, he, you know, still will hold the pride flag at his concerts and whatever.
Yeah, he's more of an earnest ally, question mark, we don't really question know mark. But that's what it seems like.
I mean, I still don't like Harry Styles, so sorry, sue me.
I think his music's pretty bad, sorry to kick the hornet's nest there,
but, like, at the same time, it's like, you know, you have to take in the full spectrum of possibilities when you're speculating, like, in this way. Like, you know, we like to do the parasocial thing because it's funny and it's fun and it's an amusing way to sort of entertain ourselves when we lack information like this, right? But yeah, you have to take in the full spectrum of possibilities. So, like, on the liberal end, sure, he could be a Harry Styles or a James Franco, but on the conservative end, he could also be one of those, you know, douchebag straight guys who will, like, you know, play gay chicken with the homies for a lull to, you know, like, in front of girls at a bar, you know, to, you know, be, you know,
to
be jokey
women.
Or whatever, to attract women. And at the same time, then, like, turn around and be like, oh, but if any of my guys were into me, that'd be a problem. Right.
Yeah. And honestly, the more we talk about it, the more I could totally see him being exactly that type of guy. I think at the end of the day, I guess what we're trying to say is we are both now convinced enough that, yes, he may not be very into the idea of doing buddy. And also, I still don't know if that proves that it's, like, his hand has stopped it from happening. It's also that Tim Minear is such a wild card these last two seasons that I really cannot tell, like, where he's at with it. Like, I agree with people that it did feel like they were building up to it and then took a turn in this latest season, but it's like, in these past two seasons, it's felt like they were building up to all sorts of things that then didn't happen. So it's like, how much of it is a conspiracy theory and how much of it is just, like, this guy's bad at writing television. So this isn't, I hope this doesn't sound like Cope. Like, I don't think, I'm not trying to just be like, well, I still don't want it to be true, so I've rationalized it to myself. It's just that I still don't know if either side of it sounds like fully convincing to me. I just think often we're inclined to come up with these fan theories for how things went down. And I think often it's a lot simpler and a lot stupider than we think, you know? Often the answer is more like, it's just kind of like a badly written show at this point versus like there was some big drama going on behind the scenes between the cast and crew. So I just don't know what to believe.
Yeah. I also want to like address a couple of things that like I think are very, you know, reasonable and want to talk about, which is that, you know, centering this conversation around Buddy et al. Can feel very, you know, gauche or, you know, at the very least, like missing the point, right? Because, you know, like this is a real world issue that affects, you know, millions of people. And so to, you know, do the fandom thing and turn it into, but what about the show or what about the fandom can feel very irresponsible. And so we don't want to give the impression that that's what we're doing. We're paid to talk about this show and we like talking about this show.
Yeah, this is a 911 podcast. So I think that explains why we're talking about 911.
Like, and so this is part of our job.
We don't think the implications of this are just 911 for sure.
And at the same time, I also want to address something that was kind of troubling to me personally that I saw online, which was of the, you know, the calling attention to the people who have been ringing the bell about this guy for a while, which is this kind of whataboutism that you see on Twitter sometimes. Like, why didn't you listen to all the black people telling you that he was, you know, weird and racist back in 2020? Why didn't you listen to all the women who were telling you that he was weird and misogynistic earlier this year? And I just, I really want people to like stop and consider the implications of what they're saying when they do this kind of thing, this kind of pointing fingers thing. Because, I mean, these issues are very serious, right? Like transphobia, we are living in a time where transphobia is and has been on the rise in kind of like unprecedented levels in mainstream culture since in recent memory, right? And so when you say things like this, you know, I understand the impulse and the emotion behind it, but like there is kind of a downplaying of the current issue of this, you know, major player on this show is highlighting transphobia and is you know, lending his credibility to these horrible ideas. And, you know, I don't want to say, like, if you really care about trans people, you shouldn't be saying that, because, again, that's, you know, not helpful. But I do want to call attention to this false dichotomy that's being set up here, right? Because when you position these...
If you express, like, concern about the transphobia, you must not have cared about the other stuff or whatever.
Yeah, well, and there's also, like, an intersectional conversation to be had here about, like, the positioning of these groups as almost in, you know, separate camps or in opposition to each other when the reality is that there's a lot of overlap between women, black people, trans people, and the people at the crossroads of those communities are more often than not the most vulnerable members of those communities. And so you don't want to sideline anyone in these kinds of conversations, right? You know, it's like, so you guys remember a few years back when Dave Chappelle was going full mask off transphobe, right? And it sort of started to really come out in his Netflix quote unquote comedy special, The Closer, which was bad and for a lot of reasons, but he did that thing that like a lot of like really bad comedians do that want to be George Carlin, where he just like does a TED talk for the last 20 minutes about all of his bad ideas and bad opinions. And in that special, he creates this dichotomy between trans people and black people. And you've seen this before, like even generally respected comedians like Bill Burr do this, like saying things like, you know, why do gay people get, you know, a whole month, you know, versus this other community that gets like a week or whatever.
Yeah, I don't love Bill Burr. I think some like progressive people go a little too easy on him, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree. Or like it's, I mean, we even see this rhetoric happening with the, you know, Zionists talking about like, oh, go try to be gay in Palestine. They're not even taking into the, they're purposefully not taking into consideration the reality that there are many gay people who live in Palestine. There are many gay Palestinians in this world. And if you look for them, there are countless stories of people who are gay in Palestine who have suffered immense, immense oppression and death at the hands of the Israeli army. Again, I'm not trying to equate these things, but it's this line of thinking that keeps coming up, and I really don't like it. I really don't like these positioning of oppressed communities in opposition to each other. You know, like yeah. we have to scramble or fight for whatever crumbs of, you know, social justice we can get. You know, social justice for me, but not for thee.
Some people seem to be characterizing, and by some people, I mean some people on 911 Twitter specifically, seem to be characterizing like the backlash happening now as like quote unquote white queers or whatever, like just this is all just white gay people who, you know, didn't care about anything before but are now. It's like, well, no, there's like a more visible and kind of like more explicit thing happening right now that sort of confirms things for a lot of people. Like that's kind of how I'm feeling, is like, okay, there were some red flags before, and obviously like the race, I don't know, I don't want to sound like I'm minimizing the racism thing at all. It's just again, there were like interpersonal elements of that, and also he apologized for that, which I'm not saying was genuine, but like it was like a public acknowledgement of like trying to take some accountability versus like this kind of thing.
And he hadn't for a few years made a, you know, a habit of repeating those same.
Yeah. Whereas this is stuff that he's like actively supporting now and doesn't seem to feel any remorse about. So I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying that that means the apology he gave initially was genuine. I'm just saying like people had at least some reason to feel like, okay, maybe we can believe that there's been some restitution there, versus like, this is just a new thing that confirms like what a lot of people feared, I think. And I guess on that note, I think there are some people on 911 Twitter.
I thought you were going to transition into the Patreon bonus episode topic. I'm like, what a crazy way to do it.
And on that note, let's talk about the paramedic who stalked me. No. On that note, I want to say, although I do think there are some choice people on 911 Twitter who fully are vindicated right now, like I said earlier, there have totally been some people who have kind of always warned about him potentially having this true nature and been like, you know, I never let him off for that racism thing, and I don't think you guys should either. And I want to say first, like, those people I think are vindicated and kind of have a right to say like, why did like Ryan Guzman stans attack me back then? Which again, we are not Ryan Guzman stans. I see a lot of tweets being like, oh, but when I said this, I was attacked. And to be clear, we were never any part of any party that was like attacking people for trying to say those things. And I know for a fact that we've explicitly brought up before, like, oh, some fans like think that the, you know, the racism scandal is enough to totally write them off forever. And like, we acknowledge that, and I would never tell a person they're wrong for feeling that way. So I think there are some people who are valid for expressing these kind of things. I also think it's been interesting to see how many people like in the fandom right now are seeming like they seem most invested in using this as like an opportunity to get mad at other members of the fandom.
And yeah, it's a gotcha.
I just think it's funny. Yeah, it seems like a lot of people's first instinct, instead of even like really taking that long to like criticize Ryan Guzman himself, immediately turned around and just started saying like, wow, where were you guys when I said this? Or like, I can't believe some people are expressing surprise. And often like kind of seemingly aimed at a bit of a straw man, like a perspective that I have like not even seen anyone express, or like perhaps have seen like one person express who then got dunked on by everybody, you know? Like I've seen like one or two genuine Ryan Guzman stans who like aren't willing to let go. One of them was in our mentions and then deleted the tweets. Yeah. So I think we came out on top of that one. But other than that, like most people seem to be in agreement, and they're all just kind of like yelling at each other anyway.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just kind of interesting that like it didn't seem to me like most of it was really coming from a genuine place of like wanting justice or like care for the political things going on. It seemed like a lot of it was more just like this very classic fandom impulse to like try and make yourself the most correct as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was kind of funny. And, you know, I was glad we kind of didn't have to engage with much of that.
No, I agree. I mean, I want to circle back on the whole, like, you know, portraying all people upset about this now as white queers. Like, so can I just say, can we do away with this idea that, like, you know, when people get upset about something that and like then you start dunking on them, that you like add the white label in front of it to, you know, get away with saying things that are like low-key problematic, like
I mean, like, fuck that dumb fat white broad.
Right. No, it's like you can get away with, we all know this, that you can get away with misogyny on Twitter if you just say it's white women. You can get away with homophobia if you say it's white gays. You can get away with transphobia if you say it's white NBs, because, you know, white people are annoying. That's a known fact, but
we'll be the first to say it.
And we are white gays, and I guess you could say that this is coming from a place of defensiveness. I'm trying to be, you know, cosmopolitan in my perspective in this, but, you know.
I think there's like a kernel of truth in there where sometimes it is justified to point out patterns of like white queer people not being intersectional enough, or, you know, white feminists practicing what has become known as white feminism, right? Feminism that is not particularly intersectional. And at the same time, it seems like, yes, sometimes people kind of run with that. And like you said, like use it as sort of just a quick little way to really generalize entire groups of people, or sort of like flatten nuance, because it'll be like, oh, white queers.
Yeah, or even just to like, you know, dismiss backlash, right? It's like, it's this weird thing where like you're saying, oh, we should be backlashed against Ryan Guzman, but the white queers are finally making noise about it, so we're just gonna, you know, we're just gonna shame them a little bit. It's like, what are you even doing now? Oh, shouldn't we all be mad at Ryan Guzman?
And it's also interesting in a situation like this where like there's actually no proof that like all the people just getting mad about this now are white, right?
Yeah, it's kind of generalizing. Just
like that's their So I don't know, whatever. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I did think it was funny. And specifically, we had somebody in our, I just think it's interesting how much it sets everybody off. Like, I think, and I guess one more thing I wanted to say about this is that I think some of that petty fandom infighting and like holier than thouism comes from a place of defensiveness. Like, I think, again, I'm not saying everybody expressing that kind of opinion is. Like, I've seen a few accounts that I think are totally justified in calling people out because they truly have been there the whole time saying this stuff. But a lot of it, I feel, is people seeing this kind of thing and immediately maybe feeling a little defensive that they too, you know, gave him some benefit of the doubt. And so they turn around and start really strongly being like, wow, good thing I always knew he was a bad person. And it's like, I'm going to be so real. I think maybe some of you didn't. I think, I don't know. I guess I think there's something more honest in just acknowledging that, like, you know, I kind of did give him some undue benefit of the doubt because I did kind of let that parasocial relationship get to me. And I regret it. He clearly didn't deserve it. And, you know, now that he's gone, like, in my opinion, fully mask off, like, I'm willing to stop allowing him any of that charitability, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. I think that we should all just be honest about the situation and, you know, admit that, you know, a lot of us were had, you know, and we wanted to believe that someone was working to change. And we specifically were had, and we specifically were wanting to believe that someone was changing for the better. It's fucking wicked. You know, with the sharp lens of hindsight, we were wrong, and we have to own up to that fact. And it's an unpleasant thing to do, but it's a necessary thing to do. So I think that we should all acknowledge that, you know. But if you,
or at least those of us who were had, if you weren't had, if you were like that commenter on our Patreon, congratulations. You were right. were wrong.
If you don't see yourself in what we're saying.
Yeah, if you don't see yourself in what we're saying, it does not apply to you.
And more information is probably going to come out. I saw other things happening online. More of the cast was getting dragged. Aisha Hines follows this Zionist Instagram account, and Oliver Stark apparently compared.
That's kind of another thing I wanted to touch on just briefly, which is not so much that nobody else in the cast has ever done anything wrong, but that I do think it's a little bit of a fool's errand to now start like trying to dig up anything you can on the other actors, not because there's like nothing there potentially, but more so just for your own peace. You know, I kind of think this was one of my ultimate takeaways, is I really think we all should take this as an opportunity to kind of reflect on our own parasocial relationships with all these actors and try and like try and check ourselves on that. Because again, it's not that none of these people have done anything wrong or deserve to be called out for it, or don't deserve to be called out for it, I mean. But I think we will save ourselves a lot of hurt and heartbreak if we just try to remember that these are ultimately randos whom we know very little about. And I think playing this game of like, okay, now that Ryan Guzman has something problematic, let's like actively try to find everything problematic about every other actor. I don't really see what's productive in that beyond just like making yourself miserable. I think it's just like, you know, until you have a reason to be concerned, I don't think you need to make yourself concerned. But we can be done talking about this. But I just have one more thing that was kind of funny that I wrote in my notes. I've compiled a top five stupidest Ryan Guzman takes I've seen on the timeline. And by Ryan Guzman takes, I mean takes about Ryan Guzman, not takes from Ryan Guzman. Not familiar enough with his takes. These are takes about Ryan Guzman. These are the top five stupidest ones I've seen. Or I guess you could say the bottom five RG takes I've seen. Mm-hmm. Number five, this was one that happened to me personally. Calling his racism a, quote, scandal is problematic. I made just a little thread on Twitter, kind of just addressing some of the same things I've addressed here, of just like, wow, I feel silly for ever having given this guy some benefit of the doubt. Like, clearly he didn't deserve it. I wanted to believe that maybe he was an okay person, and he's clearly not. And at one point I mentioned, I referred to the racism situation, the 2020 situation, as the 2020 scandal. And I called it that really just out of like a desire for conciseness. You know, I just wanted to, a tweet only has so many characters. And the point of my tweet was, this is why I, you know, this is how I felt about that. And this is why I had kind of tried to move on from it. My point was not literally the facts of what had happened. So I referred to it as a scandal, which, you know, if you look up the definition in the dictionary, you'll find just means like a thing that is considered immoral that causes a lot of outrage, which I would say perfectly describes what happened with Ryan Guzman in 2020. But anyway, I got a quote tweet from somebody saying, you know, calling this a scandal minimizes it. It was anti-Black racism, not a scandal. And I was like, what? Like, why are you getting mad at me for something I did not do and did not imply? And I replied, I was like, I don't think that's what any of what I said implied. Like, this is the definition of a scandal. It was it was anti-Black racism, yes, and it was also objectively a scandal. And that was kind of one of those things where I was like, oh, I think this event has really like put everybody really on high alert, and they're just sort of now like looking for things to get mad at, even if those things are not doing the things that they think they're doing. So that was an example kind of just like, in my opinion, the fandom just like foaming at the mouth for petty infighting. And I found that really a ridiculous example. But number four, if you disagree with Ryan Guzman's politics, you should just stop watching the show.
Oh, this was my God. Okay, so this is one that I personally responded to.
Yes,
I personally responded to this one. And I just want to say, sometimes we don't sign our tweets, so you won't know exactly who's tweeting what from the corporate account. That's gotten me in hot water with Jane, like when I posted like the thing like about like you know, Eddie being so aggressively straight in his queerness. Do you remember when I posted that? And Jane came back and was like,
why?
Why is this on the
I go to work for 6 hours and come back to Ryan posting stuff like this.
Jane posted this thread talking about like her own sort of reflections on like our conversation about Leeway, like that we extended to Ryan Guzman, etc. And we got this response that is since deleted, which means that we won. We got this
which
response
means
that
we won.
Since deleted, which is you know, an actor's opinions are, you know, blah blah blah, so inconsequential. If you don't like it, you should just stop watching the show. And I was so taken aback. Like the only thing yeah. I could possibly think to respond was just, excuse me?
Like, yeah, that was an unhinged.
And of course they double down, they go, I said what I said.
Such what? A funny thing to say.
And so of course, like I responded. I went, you know, I don't like your tone, because I didn't. And so I blocked them. And I guess they privated their account recently. We were keeping tabs on
private.
The situation.
But yes, so beyond just our personal Twitter beef, number three. He's not actually transphobic because we don't know that that's the part of the video he liked. Now, you guys,
that's
if
not
you
better.
Watch...
That's
no,
not
exactly.
Better.
I tweeted something about this, which is like, if you watch the full thing, it makes it look so much worse, actually, because the full video doesn't just have transphobia. It has all this conservative trad life stuff where it's like, we don't believe in modern medicine. We don't vaccinate our kids. You know, we want them to have, we don't think GMOs are safe to eat. It's just like all these other crazy right-wing conspiracy theories. It's like, okay, that doesn't actually help. Like, there were a couple Ryan Guzman stans being like, this was taken out of context. You're just sharing the transphobic part. It's like, no.
We don't think jet fuel can melt steel beams. We do think Jews control the weather. We do think it's Democrats like, eat babies. Like,
that actually what? Doesn't make it look better. So that's yeah. number three on my list. Number two. This is a real perspective that I saw. Probably only like one person saying this. I didn't bookmark it. I wish I had. Number two. He was probably just high and accidentally liked a conservative trad life video.
Oh.
Somebody was honest to God, because we know from like his own profession and you know, him and Kenny Choi's goings on, we know that Ryan Guzman enjoys a bit of cannabis from time to time. And somebody was honest to God trying to argue that he was probably just unthinkingly scrolling through Instagram reels while stoned and accidentally liked this video. And it's like, I'll give, like, if this was like the only thing that had ever happened was just him liking this video, then I would be like, okay, we probably can't read that much into it. It's true. Sometimes your hand just slips, or sometimes you're just mindlessly scrolling through things, liking everything. But given the pattern of behavior, I think this is not an accident. And I think it's so ridiculous to pretend as though he must have been high on marijuana, a mind-altering psychedelic.
The devil's lettuce, one might say. Two counterpoints to that. One, Jane, I just want to ask you, it just says a social experiment. How many trad life, you know, things do you get in your feed? Just from your algorithm. I just want to know.
I would say just about zero.
Yeah, I also get just about zero because I don't go out of my way to engage with those things. And so the algorithm
right.
doesn't recommend them to me. Interesting. Or even related things. You know what I mean? So that's funny because I've literally never gotten one of those on Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube. So that's interesting. Also, I just want to say there is historical precedence for this, because before J.K. Rowling went mask off in support of Maya Forstatter, she was caught liking some, let's just use the euphemism and say gender critical tweets on the interwebs. Right. So even then, even if you take that as face value that he was just high or whatever, there is historical precedence for this happening in the past. Hence why we should still be on alert.
Yes. That might just be an excuse people use at times. Mm-hmm. But number one, okay, I have my favorite question mark perspective that I've seen on this. And by favorite, I mean the most flawed argument on many levels. Again, this is one that I swear I saw firsthand. I didn't think to bookmark it, but I did see someone unironically saying this perspective. Number one, He's an innocent small being who's only expressing such views because he is still under the corrupting influence of his evil wife. I didn't see them say that verbatim, right? But I have seen people, honest to God, say that he's probably only expressing these views because he has been morally corrupted by that evil, evil witch of a woman.
Like he's John Lennon and she's Yoko breaking up the band.
Yeah, like, which is also a conspiracy
which
theory.
Which is also a conspiracy theory.
I've seen this before, like people kind of trying to blame his ex for like every bad thing he's ever done, which is, we can acknowledge that like it doesn't sound like the ex is a very good person either if she like had racial slurs on her record. And also, objectively, it is insanely misogynistic to act like this grown ass man doesn't have the agency to be conservative himself and is instead only doing it because of the evil woman in his life, who he's not even in a relationship with anymore, right? Has been his ex for like a couple years. I just could not believe my eyes.
I'm crying. This is just the Shannon Diaz argument again, but worse.
It's like that parasocial blurring of lines between fiction and reality. I think people are weird in general about the partners of the two buddy actors. Like, I see it all the time with Ryan Guzman. Like, even people who are like kind of big respected accounts on 911 Twitter will really suddenly, it's sort of like those people who are like really vocally anti Helena Diaz instead of, but like, don't, like more so
but
than
not
Ramon Diaz.
Yeah,
like for no reason, like the text, even though the text hasn't really shown her being worse than him, or people who get really upset when they like find out Oliver Stark has a girlfriend or something. It's like, you guys are acting like 13-year-olds on 2013 Tumblr. Like, get a grip. And I cannot believe that, if anything, like I said with the divorced dad stuff, it seems like the radicalization, if it has anything to do with his ex, is probably more of a divorced dad, women are evil and will take your kids kind of thing versus my ex-wife had bad politics and I'm under the she like indoctrinated me into the transphobic cult or something. It's ridiculous. It's like the final boss of 911 fandom misogyny. I can't believe it.
Oh my God.
It's so bad that it crosses over into being like parody. I think it's hilarious.
It's camp. It's a beautiful thing to behold, this
it's
absolute
camp.
Naivety that people are, you know, like, you know, they're going full mask off with this, like in like a completely different way.
These people saw Goody Proctor with the devil. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, like Ruby's out here corrupting Sam's soul to turn him into a demon, etc. And so like it's hard to take like any of that seriously. But the fact is that there are people who genuinely believe this, which is insane. I don't even know that. I don't even know that they genuinely believe this. I like that more than anything sounds like cope to me, you know, because like I don't think anyone would actually look at the facts of the case and with their whole heart and their whole life experience and all of their, you know, capacity for human intelligence would say, oh, yeah, it's the evil bitch ex-wife's fault still exerting control over his life. It's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And did Courtney Love also hire a hitman to murder Kurt Cobain and take all of his money, right? Like, did Amber Heard actually shit in the bed? Like, is that like what we're getting at here? Like what is going on?
I thought of that stuff. I thought of that stuff because it does seem like, unfortunately, you know, the few Ryan Guzman stans who are still clinging on to him, I think sometimes, unfortunately, especially women sometimes get into this thing of like, you know, a man that they respected and trusted will turn out to not be a great guy. And instead of like accepting that the world is a sad and hateful place, and sometimes people disappoint you like that, instead of accepting that, they just sort of radicalize themselves into thinking, no, it's just the crazy evil woman or all the crazy evil fans. You know, it's Amber Heard. It's Blake Lively. Mm-hmm. It's
Angelina Jolie, Megan Thee Stallion,
right?
Yeah.
It couldn't possibly be my sweet boy that I've loved for so many years, you know?
Not Brad Pitt. No, not Brad Pitt.
So
Aww.
Instead of accepting the really very sensical explanations of like, oh, a powerful man abused his wife, or a guy might be kind of conservative. Yeah. They have to come up with like conspiracy theories for, you know, totally twist themselves in knots trying to prove that something else could be true. And unfortunately, it's a pattern we see a lot.
We're also not trying to equate, you know, Ryan's, you know, racist ex-wife with, you know, the suffering of Amber Heard or Blake Lively or Angelina Jolie or Megan Thee Stallion.
No, we're not
like, that's not what we're doing.
I'm not even necessarily saying that, like, that pattern that we're seeing, like, the ex is in that kind of position. I'm more saying any of these stans who are still hanging on and instead have turned on, like, the fandom, I see that as, like, a similar logic. Not so much that there's, like, a one-to-one.
Yeah, infantilizing this tortured baby man artist,
yeah.
You know, sort of thing. Yeah, 100%.
Just a tiny little 37-year-old infant, you know. Won't somebody think of the 37-year-old straight men? Please.
Hey, can I say to those stands, hang your 37-year-old straight man. Like, we don't care about him. we're also when in saying that, I'm being satirical. I'm not calling for the murder of Ryan Guzman.
I'm calling for the feminization in fiction,
oh,
fan
yes.
fiction of
yes.
Ryan Guzman. No, so
please.
So you know, we'll wrap it up because we've been talking about this for almost an entire episode length, and me and Ryan have to record a Patreon episode. That's really what we're supposed to be doing right now. So
yeah.
I'll wrap it up by just saying final takeaways. I'm going to continue buddy maxing to spite Ryan Guzman. And also, you know, I think we could all take this opportunity to reflect on whether our attachments to these actors has become parasocial. And maybe mm-hmm. this is kind of a cold shower, you know,
yeah.
a slap in the face to remind us that, again, they're just randos. We really don't know much about them. And, you know, we can't really control what they do, unfortunately.
Yeah. And can we together on three say collectively, Ryan Guzman, the actor that you aren't.
Ryan Guzman, the actor that you aren't.
Okay, so I was going to go on three.
Okay. We can just end it there.